I'm going to jump right into our first guest because this was a big story today. And anytime you have a reporter on to talk about the story they wrote and they write a great lead, it just makes my job super easy. What a great lead from Greg Hines of Chicago, Grain Chicago Business. Illinois' richest man is pulling up the stakes and taking his company with him. And Greg, of course, we're talking about Ken Griffin and we're talking about Citadel. And this has been hinted at for a while, right, Greg?
Yeah, it has been, John. Now, this has been developing. Mr. Griffin has made it clear he's not very happy here. This is only the tip in some ways of what is really an absolutely fascinating mix of politics and finance all together in one dirty package. It's bad for us. It's bad for the city. It's bad for the state, but it's a heck of a story.
Yeah, and even in his statement about it, there is not outright politics, but there's quite a little hip check on the way out. You quote Griffin or the statement saying that Chicago will continue to be important, as many of our colleagues have ties to Illinois. But over the past year, however, many of our Chicago teams have asked to relocate to Miami, New York, and other offices around the world. I don't read a lot of statements where they say, hey, people on the inside, our employees wanted to get on out of here. They were asking, I don't know, little parting shot, perhaps?
I don't think so.
Okay.
There's two things that are going on here. One is that Ken Griffin and J.B. Pritzker, our governor, don't get along at all in a way that only big mega billionaires can fight. They're fighting. They're like King Kong and Godzilla. They're destroying everything in their path in some ways. Griffin is the one who took down Pritzker's graduate income tax 2 years ago by putting up all the money in the opposition. Pritzker's returned the favor this year by spending a ton of money against Griffin's candidate for governor against him, Richard Irvin, the mayor of Aurora. So even though Griffin talks about crime, and crime is a concern of his, particularly the city, adding to it is this competition with Pritzker and this ill will. Now, that having been said, Griffin's argument that he's having trouble recruiting people to Chicago because of our crime problem downtown is an argument I've not heard just from him, but I've heard from a lot of other people. And
really?
Other reporters, the Cranes, have heard it, yeah. Our tech reporter tells me he's now started to hear from his sources regularly that people are saying, I'm not sure I want to move there.
Yeah.
Griffin talked about somebody trying to hijack his car. He talked about how one of his employees was mugged pretty badly a couple blocks from the office. The problem is that stuff like this happens, and it sends out a message to the rest of the world. It sends out a perception. This didn't happen in a vacuum. Boeing left a couple weeks ago, or a few weeks ago, a week ago it was Caterpillar. These are three big industry-leading iconic firms that are all kind of left to one degree or another in a huff, and they all had different reasons. But even though some other companies have moved in, like Kellogg the other day, it's not the message you want. I mean,
right.
Corporate CEOs and employees, like anybody else, they want to be popular. They want to move the hit, fast-moving place. And if they think they're moving to a dump, they won't.
Right. Do we have any sense of how many jobs this means for Chicago, or is this still to be ironed out, to lose?
I think some of it's going to be ironed out. There's about 1,000 jobs here now, the company tells me, and the new headquarters, at least initially, will have 300. Some of those will come from Chicago. Some will come from other areas. I would expect, though, that unless something changes, that over time the Chicago population of workers will steadily decline down to a few hundred. It will depend on which business units. Somebody over there tells me that this, after they get their feet wet and go down to Miami and see if they like it, business units will decide whether they want to stay here or whether they want to stay there. But I think it's probably fair to say that at a minimum that even though this is a fast-growing company, their number of employees in Chicago has peaked and will only drop.
All right, Greg Hines, we got to talk about this more as the story progresses. Thanks for joining us, okay?
You're welcome, sir.
Always appreciate it. 720 WGN here on Your Money Matters on this Thursday evening. So thrilled, as always, to chat with Craig Bolanos, founding partner and CEO of Wealth Management Group. Craig, I'm just happy that we have you on the line today after a nice day on the markets. I feel like I always call you when the bottom is falling out, and I wanted to reward you with an okay day today.
No, I appreciate that. And listen, everybody all across America and listening to this program is saying, wow, I'm so happy to have some green in my portfolio. You know, all three indexes staged a very nice late-day rally. Again, one-day rally doesn't mean much, but round numbers have been the barrier for markets thus far. That round number that we're currently chasing is 3,800. We close above 3,800. I got to think you see short coverings, a big bear market rally ensues of biblical proportions.
Whoa.
Likewise, if we can't hold 3,800, we've probably got to go down to lower lows, and that's scary because 3,400 is a number that gets talked about in the trading pits.
Can you talk about that the shorts thing again? I just to expand for people that aren't quite sure what you mean by that.
No, that's right. I mean, so John, at the end of the day, there are people who are long the stock market, and those are people who own companies. They bet on common sense, which is long term. Then there's another side to every trade. It's the short side. That's people betting on stock prices falling. Hence, they're short the stock. They're trying to make a profit by having that stock fall in price. So there's longs in the market. There's shorts in the market. Longs in the market are always investors because with time, markets trend higher. Shorts are not investors. Shorts are traders. Those are people trying to take a swing. And in this market, they're trying to make some profits if equity prices bid down lower.
That's the best I've ever heard that explained, by the way, Craig. I've been trying to get a simple 30-second answer, and that was about as crisp as it gets. Okay, you know, we've hovered into this bear market territory. So, you know, we're here, and obviously we don't quite know where we're going to be over the next few weeks or months, but what are things that people can do right
now? Wait, John, we know exactly where we're going to be. I'm going to give a shout-out to somebody.
Okay.
I mean, J.P. Morgan just released their mid-year outlook,
uh-huh.
And it's trending here this evening. Some people are actually calling it a shocker. Can we talk about what they said?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. So I'm going to give them credit. So their equity strategist at J.P. Morgan just went out and published the mid-year outlook and, quote, the stock market will likely erase its 2022 losses in the second half as inflation declines and the U.S. economy skirts a recession. They're talking about a price target of some 4,800 on the S&P. Oh, don't worry, John. That's a very soft 27.7% above where we started trading this morning.
Yeah, so it'd be flat for the year at that point is what they're saying.
That's what they're. I didn't say I was saying that. They're saying. No, and listen, it gets back to this whole concept. Is the glass half full? Is the glass half empty? Because the data is pointing in both directions, but don't get me wrong. The sentiment is as negative as I've ever seen it, and we do have to understand that from a pricing standpoint, we are in a bear market right now, and there's probably things people should be doing.
Yeah, let's talk about that first. And I know that you can minimize some of your taxes here in a bear market a little bit. What are your options there?
Well, I think the first thing is everyone says it, but too few people are doing it. There absolutely has to be things in people's portfolios today that they can do some harvesting or some swaps on. And let's get right to the chase there. So tax swaps, you know, think bond investors, fixed income investors today. Most bonds are trading negative for the year. After all, the aggregate bond market index is down some 11%. So I would hope that all investors are going in, looking at their muni bonds, looking at their corporate bonds, identifying bonds that are in a negative position from where they were purchased. We call that a capital loss. They should be selling those bonds, and literally within seconds, buying a new bond of a similar credit rating, similar maturity, similar interest rate scenario. So we're simply swapping bond A for bond B. We stay invested, but we book tax deductions. And who doesn't want a tax deduction, right, John?
Right, exactly. So you sell it. It's immediately recorded as a loss because nothing actually matters until you actually sell something, buy something new, and then it'll either negate the gain that you get from it later when you sell it, or you keep it, and that's next year's problem.
That's incredibly easy in the bond market. It's a little bit more challenging in the stock market because, you know, the question goes, gee, if someone bought shares as Pepsi, should they sell Pepsi and simply buy Coke? You know, I mean, yes and no, but people can use exchange-traded products, exchange-traded funds to go ahead and do tax loss harvesting on the equity side, make sure they stay invested, count down that 31-day time period to avoid the wash sale rule before they go back in. You know, that might sound sophisticated, but the bottom line is everyone should control what they can control, and that means tax loss harvesting and tax swaps in their taxable accounts right now, June of 2022.
I know that, you know, one thing you got to do is make sure that your income sources are, you know, where they need to be. Obviously, it kind of depends on where you are in your life, and Social Security obviously providing some income. But I know a lot of people are wondering, like, is that going to be enough for me? What do you recommend for those people here in this bear market?
Well, I think what this bear market exposes is it exposes everybody who doesn't have an actual plan. It exposes those that just have investments. They don't have a command of where those investments fit into the totality of the situation. So whether it's Social Security, whether it's the pension, at the end of the day, retirement is all about cash flow. It is not about investments. Retirement is about cash flow. I encourage everybody right now to take stock of what they own, why they own it, and make sure they're following those three pillars of retirement income: capital matters, generating sufficient portfolio income to cover the monthly spend. In this case, that means dividends, dividends, dividends. And then part number three, make sure you're not abandoning your long-term plan. Don't get whipsawed by the fear, because you need to stay invested in order to grow your capital base over time if you have a chance at growing your income. That's what I think people should be doing when it comes to retirement income in today's marketplace, John.
Absolutely. We're just getting started with Craig Bolanos from Wealth Management Group. Invest with WM. MG.com. Let's take a break. Then we got the news here on WGN. Your Money Matters here on this gorgeous Thursday evening across the Chicagoland area. Craig Bolanos from Wealth Management Group. Now, Craig, are you a guy that likes 100 degrees with a lot of humidity, or do you like this cooler side of summer that we're getting today?
Well, John, you're teasing me. You and I are both in the radio studios. You tell me it's gorgeous out this evening. What are you talking about? We're in an air conditioning building. I'm missing it. No, I don't want to be drenching in 100-degree heat. What do I like? I like a nice 84 with a calm breeze, 5 to 7 miles an hour out of the southwest.
I love, of course you give me numbers. If I'm asking you something, you're going to come back with specific numbers. Hey, speaking of numbers, look at that transition. I'm a professional broadcaster. In bear markets, is this a good time for someone to consider a conversion of their IRA to a Roth? And before we even get into it, could you just explain for people that maybe have heard that term a billion times but don't quite understand what it is, and then we can see whether it's the right move for some people or not?
The vast majority of America has traditional IRAs. Those are the type of retirement accounts where you got a tax deduction when you put the money in, but when you retire and take withdrawals for income, every dollar comes out is going to be taxable. The Roth IRA is the antithesis to that. It's the reciprocal to that. That's a type of account where there was no tax deduction when you put the money in, but assuming you hold the account long enough, every dollar comes out tax-free. So in today's marketplace, we have an intersection of low tax rates, courtesy of something called the Tax Cut and Jobs Act from 2018. And in addition to that, we have significantly lower equity prices than we did at the beginning of the year. And that is a prescription, that is a recipe for everybody that people should maybe be starting to look at mid-year Roth conversions, where we take some of that tax-sheltered traditional IRA, convert a portion of it to the Roth IRA. Yes, we'll pay some taxes, but better to pay taxes while the rates are low, better to convert that IRA while stock prices are down, so that way when stock prices recover and your IRA grows for decades into the future, all of that growth and future withdrawal is tax-free forever. That's why we call the Roth IRA the tax-free safety zone.
And the Roth doesn't have required minimum distributions, right? Like, you can pull it when you want.
All sorts of bonuses.
Yeah.
There's no required minimum distributions. And best of all, you can actually get at the contributions, your corpus, the principal of that Roth IRA, at any time for any reason. You're not subject to 59.5 age distribution rules. Now, again, any of the earnings need to stay in the Roth, but yes, no RMDs, ability to access the contribution, the corpus. It just makes the Roth IRA a no-brainer for those that can qualify. Now, not everybody can contribute to a Roth IRA that's income-based. everybody, regardless of their income, can consider doing a conversion.
Ah, I was just going to ask, because I think the number, I mean, it's a high number, but if you're an individual, I think it's like 205, and maybe a couple, it's like 215. I'm just kind of spitballing here with the numbers, and then you can't contribute to a Roth. I didn't know, though, but you could take out of your IRA and convert it into a Roth, even if you are above that income.
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, and listen, so many people think they can't have a Roth IRA. Yes, you can. People can make non-deductible IRA contributions and do conversions. That's called a backdoor Roth IRA. Everybody can do what we just discussed, which is move money from the left pocket to the right pocket, moving from a traditional IRA to a Roth IRA, no income restrictions. Maybe you have a 401k plan at work. Maybe you have a Roth 401k plan at work. Doesn't matter how much you make, no income restrictions to contribute to a Roth 401k. So don't get fooled. There's plenty of ways to get money into the tax-free safety zone of the Roth IRA.
And no one, and well, correct me if I'm wrong, but if you're not 59 and a half, you shouldn't even, should you consider this? I mean, because you're going to pay a 10% penalty off the bat too, right? This is for people above that age.
No, that's a great question. So you can convert from a regular IRA. I'm 47. Mm-hmm. I can move money from a regular IRA into my Roth IRA today. I'll pay taxes at my ordinary income rate on the conversion, but I won't be subject to the 10% premature distribution penalty. So I think that's another misnomer that trips up potential converters, John.
Well, they call me Mr. Misnomer, Craig. I sometimes have a lot of them. That's why I ask the dumb questions, so our listeners can get the right information from experts like you. Craig Milanos, can we keep you for one more second? Is that a segment? Is that okay?
We'll stick around, and then I'm getting outside to this great weather. You keep advertising.
For sure. And speaking of that great weather, let's get a look at weather and traffic. Mary Vandeveld, Your Money Matters here on 720 WGN. Thank you so much for listening to us here this evening, this Thursday evening. John Hansen here, joined by Craig Milanos from Wealth Management Group. Let's talk about portfolio rebalancing, Craig. I imagine that is something that, you know, for me, it's, I don't even know where I'd begin, and that's why I'd want someone like you and the people that you work with to do it for me.
Well, no, I mean, John, that's why we exist, right? I mean, at the Wealth Management Group, we're here to help people get retired, stay retired. A part of that is having a disciplined and robust set of protocols for something so simple, portfolio rebalancing. And I tell investors of all shapes and sizes, it's never too late. So look at those IRAs, look at those 401ks, and if you're still completely overweight to growth and technology, I don't know that what led the market for the last 11 years is what's going to lead it for the next 11 years. That doesn't mean sell, but it does mean rebalance to get some dollars from the growth side of that ledger to the value side while you still maintain a good chunk of what I call mega cap technology. Those things just aren't going away. But don't just look at the retirement accounts. Make sure you're paying attention to America's preferred college savings vehicle of choice, the 529 plan.
Yeah.
If you have a son or daughter going into college this fall, make sure that there is a portion of that money invested in that 529 plan where the allocation, stock, bonds, and cash aligns with when you're going to make the withdrawal. I think it's mission critical.
I have here's a dumb question for you, Craig. I and a lot of people have a 401k that has like a target retirement date for that idea of kind of rebalancing along the way. If I were to take that 401k, show it to you, are you guys able to manipulate even those things? Do I get to have some power over where things go, or am I set with where the retirement calendar has for me?
You know, I'm very happy that the industry has created these target date funds, these glide path funds, and I think it's average advice at best. I do believe people deserve something that is custom and unique to you. I think rebalancing simply based on a calendar, rebalancing simply based on an age, that's not best spoke practices for anybody who wants to be a good steward of their money. So, John, emphatically, you know, when you get out of the office building, yes, let's get together and start working on that 401k plan, because I think for most investors, we can outgrow that target date fund. I think for few investors, we can actually outgrow the concept of basic mutual funds. There's other choices and platforms that we're ready to help people deploy.
Do you think people that have had success in the market, and obviously if you've been in a long time and you've invested smartly, odds are you've had a lot of success. Do you think people get stuck in their ways and they are afraid to do anything differently because they look at past performance and say, oh, well, this has served me well for so long, and they just don't have the sense of ways that things have changed?
Change is difficult for absolutely everybody, but we also have to remember, never fall in love with one's opinion. I certainly understand that history is a guide, and it might be in certain circumstances the only guide that we have, but when it comes to investing, we need to understand that what it takes to be successful is never become an expert, never have an ego, don't simply fall in love with your opinion, and don't base those opinions on what worked last week, last month, and last year is going to work again tomorrow, next week, and next month. Consider yourself to be a divine student, a student who gets educated every single day. That's part of the reason we listen to your program, John. And you have to be willing to change. You have to be willing to make progress, because the markets are just the markets. It's fear and greed, but people need to acknowledge that the speed through which markets now react to news and data is different than it used to be, and as a result, I think people's strategies need to reflect that new environment.
Yeah, it's all about exposure, right? Like, you got to have that comfort level for what you want to be exposed to, I guess you could say. And, you know, you mentioned, you know, tech world, you maybe not something you want to be investing too heavily in if you're needing that money sooner rather than later, but like, what are some safer asset classes? I know we talk about I bonds all the time on this show. I know that with the 9.62, I believe, interest, at least for the 6 months here, and that'll change as inflation changes. What are some other ones that might be safer asset classes for people to invest in?
Well, I think, yeah, once everybody rounds out their portfolio, buys those Series I bonds, I think the second thing that people can be looking for is really take a look at the stocks or the ETFs or the mutual funds that are in your portfolio, and make sure the overall PE, the price-to-earnings ratio of what you own, is not more expensive than the market as a whole, because we're still correcting for valuation. And if inflation stays hot and interest rates stay high, we're going to continue to correct for valuation, so right-size that PE. And what does that mean? I think in today's market, it's not too late for people to continue to focus in great companies of America, what Warren Buffett or others used to coin the word blue chip dividend-paying stocks. John, they're not dead. And I think more of those items need to get into people's portfolios.
For sure. I just want to ask, as we wrap up here, about consumer sentiment. You mentioned it in our first segment, how you've never seen it lower. And I always wonder, once the consumer sentiment reaches the bottom, is that sometimes the start of even worse things to come? Or can that be, I don't, exploit, it's not the right word, but could that be the sign of it's already baked in, and then you start seeing trends the other way? Do we have any past historical data on that?
John, that's an awesome point. Rarely does the market trade with consensus. Going into the first day of trading this year, 2022, everyone was excited for yet a third year of growth in stocks. Did it happen, John?
Nope.
No, it didn't. Likewise, everybody believes the recession is imminent. Everyone is overwhelmed with gloom and doom because of the media, because of the real narrative that is Ukraine, China not being open for business with zero COVID, high inflation prices across the board. But when you get to that point of maximum pessimism, you know, I always remind people that markets will bottom well before a recession even comes into play. We're getting to that foothills right now. I call it the foothills of a bottom. Bottoming is not an event. Bottoming is a process, and people should just make sure they don't get whipsawed. I think that's one of the largest risks right now coming into the close of the second quarter.
Craig Bolanos, it's always great to chat with you, and the best part is I don't have to wait long to do it again. You'll be on the Wintrust Business Lunch tomorrow when I fill in for John Williams.
No, I can't wait. John, it's going to be terrific. Thanks for having me on this evening. I'm going to go get a dose of whatever sunshine and warm air is outside.
Yeah.
You have a fantastic evening.
Craig Bolanos from Wealth Management Group. Invest with WMG.com. All right, well, let's take a break. Then we'll wrap things up here on Your Money Matters after this.